Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Let's start here. Obviously, as you know, current affairs is what we do best. And so one of the stories that came through earlier on today is a press briefing that was given by various foundations who are saying that they're calling for the nation to have a national dialogue. On the line with us is Nishan Bolton, who is from the Kathrada Foundation. Thank you very much, Mr. Bolton, for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Greetings and thank you for the opportunity.
What necessitated the need for this national dialogue?
There's been a call for a national dialogue using different terms probably over the last decade or so. Some people have called it a convention, others have called it endeavors. But essentially what it's about is a need to find a way of getting as many South Africans through the organized formations talking about the pressing needs of the country, mm-hmm. as well as the solutions that are required to solve them in a way that we have not done before, using both the positions and the power of those in government, mm-hmm. as well as those outside of government, because that's been the missing element. Either government tries to find solutions on its own, mm. or those outside of government try to do what they can to deal with the issues. Never really been about finding an effective combination between the two, as well as those within business and academia and everywhere else. So I think the outcome of the elections has now created a situation where you have a multi-party government that will come into being. Mm-hmm. There is no one dominant political party. But you also have a situation where the vast majority of people who could have voted didn't vote. And in that is a huge concern about withdrawal from democracy and a democracy that for many has not given them the jobs, the housing, the stability of life, and the peace of mind about waking up the next day. And it is those issues that requires, I think, a different form of discussion, dialogue, and action that hopefully this new proposal for a national dialogue will get us there, or at least close to it.
How concerned are you about getting all South Africans to really find consensus on what's important? When you look at, for instance, you've just spoken about the fact that there are discussions right now underway in the formation of the GNU, and then there is quite a big constituency outside of that, what they're calling the Progressive Caucus, and they just are worlds apart. They even refuse to speak to one another. How concerned are you about the country being able to actually sing from the one same hymn book and get to some sort of consensus about what needs to be done in the next 5 years?
No, I don't underestimate the difficulty of that. And that's the challenge in its entirety, is how to build that unity. So you can have a government of national unity, but until you have a country of national unity, mm-hmm. around the core issues that affect it, we're not going to move from where we are. We might even slip further behind. But I think we have to figure out how to get there. And what this initiative that was announced today is not necessarily a fully blown plan, but is an announcement of an intention to go down that path.
I'm assuming that after they've dealt with power sharing issues, which seems to be quite at the center of their discussions at the moment, they will have to be a discussion about how government itself, whatever it looks like, buys into what we're trying to do, what you're trying to achieve.
Well, fortunately, the statement of intent does premise all of their work on the necessity for engaging in a national dialogue. So it is already there. It is already in the president's inauguration speech. And I would assume that all political parties in the GNU have realized that there is a vast constituency that they don't speak for, that they don't represent. And even if they did represent them, they don't necessarily have the answers to all of the issues that affect the people that they might claim to speak for as well. So what this election should have hammered home to every political party, is that unless the core issues of voters are addressed, their chances of being returned to office are in fact reduced. So it would be in their interest to work with wider society to find these solutions and make them lasting.
I'm concerned about trust. In all attempts that everyone has to bring the country together, I think we do have an issue of trust. South Africans not trusting a system. And when you look at, for instance, what's happening right now, even with the formation of the GNU, you spoke about the statement of intent. And then you look at the ticket with which the political parties campaigned on at opposite ends. So when you look at, for instance, the DA, its major concern was the leadership of the ANC in this country. And they campaigned on the ticket of literally uprooting the ANC out of government. That's why they formed the multi-party charter. And many of them went into that kind of formation to get the ANC out. That's what they promised their constituencies. Now they're talking to the very ANC that they promised their constituency to put out of power. For me, it's probably one of the reasons why you have so many disgruntled about leaders who don't keep their promises.
I have a slightly different reading of their manifestos. And forget what the public utterances were. When you look at the manifestos, at least of the major parties in the GNU, mm-hmm. there is commonality. There's commonality around the core concerns of South Africans. The solutions that they propose might have differences. But the reality for all of them is that none of them have been given an absolute mandate to implement their manifestos. Mm. And therefore, there is a compulsion to work beyond their party and their ideological, their normal ideological allies. Because that's the kind of message that I think has come through from the electorate, at least those who participated. Mm. So, but trust has to be built. And unfortunately, what you now see, I don't think was unexpected, but should have been handled differently if they had been mindful that there is an audience out there whose trust needs to be built into the outcome of their own deliberations. And I'm hoping that sanity will prevail and they will begin to avoid the kind of public spats that we have been seeing.
Are we giving too much attention to the GNU and ignoring those who, of course, don't agree with the GNU, but actually sit with a huge constituency and not doing enough to bring them into the fold, even when people don't agree with them?
I'm not sure what else could be done to bring in those who are outside of the GNU. My understanding is that it was an open process, and this was self-exclusion. You obviously can't include everybody into it when there is a set of principles that would have bound those who have constituted it. But nevertheless, the issues even of those who are outside of the GNU, their core supporters would be the same. It's unemployment, it's jobs, it's homelessness, it's poverty. And it would be in their interest to engage with the solutions that hopefully this national dialogue process might emerge with. And if they buy into it, then there would be consensus. And around that consensus, you build implementation and restore trust.
So the foundations that have come together, including other NGOs, how are you going to work this out? Is it going to be a dialogue that's inclusive of even the political bodies that we've just spoken of, or how are you going to actually structure it?
The details of that is what we have to work out over the next couple of weeks. We merely got together to make this call, to identify the issues around which this call is premised on. The mechanics of it is what we need to work together and resolve. Remember, these are foundations also that who need to build their own sense of coherence mm-hmm. around the call that has been made. Mm-hmm. And we will go through that process speedily within the next week or so.
You know, obviously there are many who would say, yes, another talk shop. But South Africans are very good at talking. I mean, sometimes that's exactly what got us here. Talking through the difficult times is very important. What happens beyond the specified date that you're going to talk about?
So what I understand we will do is we would operationalize this call for a national dialogue, begin to work out the areas around which we need to be getting people talking about, start engaging South Africans in the broadest way possible through existing formations, using technology and all kinds of means. And even if it means that we reaffirm something like the National Development Plan as the vision that we need to be working towards, that is a plan that hopefully will come through a dialogue process. But in that process is the engagement with government around the emerging proposals and ideas. Government will obviously hopefully through engagement will agree on these priorities and the sets of actions and ideas that are being proposed. Assuming we get to that point of agreement, then it's about who does what to implement and what are the trade-offs that we as a country would need to go through to solve any of the big problems. So, for example, assuming unemployment is the most critical issue, which we've not solved for 30 years, we then get to a point of saying, yeah, the five things that needs to be done that have not been done before, and it requires trade-offs from either business, labor, civil society, government. We cut down expenditure here, there, and the other. We prioritize expenditure in particular areas. We move it away from particular areas. And those are the hard trade-offs that you need consensus on. And thereafter, different sectors would have to implement and then review that within a year or 6 months and so forth, which is the problem with the National Development Plan was that you had a good plan, but the buy into the plan was problematic. The implementation of the plan was fragmented. And there was no annual review of a wider set of stakeholders other than those in government or closely associated with it. I think what is required now is something beyond what the NDP had with wider involvement of society.
In fact, I was going to ask you that question about the fact that we are really good at coming up with plans, but we don't seem to be really good at staying the course. So the NDP, as you're saying, was a great plan. And I wanted to ask you, what have we learned from the fact that we had a plan and we couldn't stick to the plan?
Well, I think we had a very good plan. What you didn't have was comprehensive buy-in to the plan. Labor had its own disputes. Business perhaps had their own priorities. Factions within the political establishment had their own areas of the plan that they liked or didn't like. So you didn't have unanimous agreement in terms of the plan, although it was adopted in Parliament. Those in society who had the roles and responsibilities of those outside of political parties, I think was unclear. And there was no forum that brought together all of these role players to then evaluate their collective responsibilities towards implementation. So who then had to implement, it was unclear other than government. And failure then results in the fact that nobody's accountable for anything in the end.
One of the issues I'm sure that concerns you is people that have checked out. You spoke earlier about the fact that, you know, yes, we've spoken, people have spoken, they've gone to the elections, they've gone to vote, but there's a great number of South Africans that didn't go. They're disgruntled, there's lack of trust, they've checked out. How are we going to make sure that everybody feels like this is their project too and get exactly what you've spoken about, that buy-in that we need from everybody?
That's going to be the hard work, is breaking the skepticism, is also breaking the narrowness within which many organizations focus on their own immediate areas of work and not issues of national interest. But I think if the process is trusted, if the convening organizations and those who come on board are trusted and the intentions are trusted, the process of dialogue and conversation hopefully will open up minds to these possibilities. Ultimately, I think it's going to be those who agree to come in and their commitment to implementation. The implementation ultimately is what I think will turn skepticism into a positive reception and a buyback into democratic renewal and democratic processes in this country.
Really appreciate your time. Nishan Belton is from the Ahmed Kathrada Foundation. He is part of the foundations that have called for this national dialogue. You've got your work cut out for you, and I suppose all of us have our work cut out for us. Really
all
appreciate
us,
your time. Thank you very much.
Bye. If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.